Psalm 2, in verse 7, Jesus speaking here in Psalm 2, 7 in David. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee. I shall give thee. And what is God giving to Jesus? I shall give thee the nation. That's Jesus' Christmas present. I shall give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so God, who is a giver, gives all the time, has given to Jesus the nations. And first, the first fruits of the nations are the bride. Certainly the greatest gift that any man can receive is a bride. The greatest gift in this world is a good wife. And so let us turn to Genesis chapter 24. And we'll read to get in concert in the King James verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We'll read together Genesis 24. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the nations. And out of the nations, Christ is seeking first a bride. He will inherit all nations, according to the Scripture. Let's read together Genesis 24, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord hath blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thee, son, of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. I'll read on now. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, that is unto this Eliezer of Damascus, his servant, wasn't even related to Abraham, he was from the Syrian. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. God's gift to his son is a bride. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In other words, Abraham is saying, I don't want you to go into the world to get a bride or from among those, Abraham here in particular, speaking of the ways of the world. But I want you to go to get a very special kind of bride. I want the bride to come to my son from my people. And notice that the test that God puts, the supreme test, and I want you, if you want to give Jesus, this is Jesus' birthday, it's not yours, you'll get your stuff when it's your birthday. You're not the birthday boy today. Huh? Maybe kids forget that sometimes. In Christmas, they're still the birthday boy. No, Jesus is the birthday boy. In our minds, if we're adult, and the sign of an adult, is the ability to give. The most characteristic thing of children is me first. Me, mommy. Me,
me, me.
That's a child. The characteristic of an adult is they are giving for their children. And some people are 40 years old, but they've never grown up. They've never grown up, Harvey. They get ready for a divorce. They don't stop to think, how is this going to affect my wife or my husband or my child? It's still me, mommy. Me, mommy. Me, me, me. You want to know this morning if you are making any progress in growing up, journeying around the sun won't do it. No. It has to be something that takes place. And when you become more concerned about someone else's welfare, you're becoming an adult. When you are willing to be inconvenienced and hurt in order that someone else may have a life of whatever they need, you're beginning to show some budding signs of being an adult. I don't know of any other index that is so clear, so true, as to the difference between a child and an adult. Some children at the age of 12 are more adult than their parents. The sign of an adult is someone who is more preoccupied with how his conduct is affecting other people than he is with how other people are blessing him. Now, God is a great giver, and we're being made in God's image. And that means we are being given the capacity to give. And so the birthday boy is Jesus. Not us, Christmas time. And so the greatest gift that you can give to Jesus is what? Yourself. If thou be willing, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, God is giving a gift to his son. And that gift is you. The giving of money and the giving of service and these other things are good gifts to God. But more than that, Manny, God wants you. See? And it's always a case of willingness. He doesn't want to give to his son someone who's like a mule that you're trying to drag somewhere. God's gift to his son are people who love Jesus so much that they are willing to go with him without any problem. Any other kind of person may be saved, may be in the kingdom, but they're not the choice gift. How would you like someone to give you a bride that hated every minute of it? Huh? You didn't want to be married to you at all, like a oriental marriage, some marriage where the girl had no say-so in the matter. If she be willing. Do you want to be part of the bride of Christ? Or what is the motive? Only your heart can answer. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and swore to him concerning that matter. And of course, Eliezer of Damascus is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Abraham is a type of God the Father. And Isaac is a type of Jesus. And Rebecca is a type of you and me. You notice the utter faithfulness of Eliezer. He takes no thought for himself. He's concerned only with the oath that he has been made to swear. And so it is true today. You'll never hear the Holy Spirit preaching himself. The Holy Spirit does not preach himself. His only goal in life is to bring you to Jesus. That's what he has been charged to by the Father. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. 10 in the scripture is a type of the world, meaning this is going on in the world. And he departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia. That was a journey north, somewhat to the east, under the city of Nahor, where Abraham had relatives that he had left there when he left and journeyed down into the land of promise. And he, that is Eliezer, made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. And so it is that the Holy Spirit comes to us in the baptism, in water, in refreshing, brought down the camels, and we are introduced to the Holy Spirit as water, as a blessing. Time that women go out to draw water, and he prayed, the Syrian, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. So he didn't even know God for himself. Just pray. A lot of people today don't know God for themselves, but they're doing a good job because they're serving somebody else's God. God wants you to know him for yourself, not just through your husband or wife or your father and mother, but for yourself. He's praying here to a God that he didn't even know, God of his master. Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Notice how selfless this man was, carrying with him 10 camels laden with the riches of the East, wealth beyond our mind to know. Abraham was a fantastically wealthy man, many, many hundreds of servants. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. So it is today that the Holy Spirit is standing by the well of water, and it's causing a great influx of people into the church. They want to come. It's an attractive thing. People want to come out and get the blessing everywhere. And this revival is going to increase too. And anywhere where people will congregate, will serve the Lord, the Holy Spirit is here. We're in days of refreshing. We're in days of blessing. It touched my heart so much because this African student that wrote to Joan Brown, when he was here, he was visiting Sister Winnie and her mission. And there was another lady that attends on Friday night. And she took it upon herself to, and she sends this Nigerian, who's back in Nigeria now, Artaves. And he wrote to her and said, we could use some more. We're meeting and studying from those tapes, and even some Catholic nuns are in the group. Can you imagine, over in Nigeria, a little group of people, even Catholic nuns, so hungry for God, so wanting to learn. We received a letter the other day from another person in Nigeria. Did we put that on the bulletin board? That's on the bulletin board. And I don't, you know, keep making pleas for money, pleas for money. You'll have to solve that for yourself. All we do is tell you what's going on and put it on the bulletin board. And the reason these people, these Africans, keep pleading for money is because they don't have any. Their currency in some cases inflated to where it's worthless. But they're hungry for God. And you know, you can't do everything. And I just want you to keep alert while we're here in the land of affluence. Just keep alert. Here's a little group of people. Had a chance, this fellow had a chance to come for 3 months to San Diego. He's back. These other people didn't come. Many of them are villages. They're poor, living from hand to mouth. But in Uganda now they're being slain. One of them was telling us the other day, it came to me, to a fellow who he spoke. It's virtually firsthand. I was looking at the man who had the first source when the second source was speaking to me. It's not something made up. He said, we pray, you know, and you can hear the machine guns in the street. It's still on a great civil unrest there, Uganda. And there's this little group of students. They couldn't get to come to San Diego, but there they are with a cassette recorder listening. Don't you wish you could go everywhere in the world and preach? Huh? When you think of the hunger there is for people. So we need to keep in prayer before God. That's the only thing. Keep in prayer before God, because the need today in the world is very, very great. And verse 14, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now he was in the family of Abraham now that was living up here to the northeast. But now he's selecting out the bride, and he's saying, let this woman that acts in this particular way, she'll be the one. I'll consider this to be the bride for Isaac, the type of the church. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. See the relationship there, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Notice, as we said, the test was what? You remember that I said originally that Abraham said, look for one thing. What is it? That she be willing. It's voluntary. It's always to whosoever will. The water is free. The things of God are free. But you have to have that willingness, that desire. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher. Notice the nobility and the character of this girl. She said, drink, my lord, and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I like that. Even though his fleece was coming to pass, line upon line, he still was watching. And let me tell you, when you put a fleece off to the Lord, don't jump the first time something happens. Watch. He said something to God, and he expected it to be fulfilled to the letter. So if you're going by these things, make sure you don't get halfway into the thing, and bull. Praise the Lord. And isn't this a marvelous young lady? What character, what industry was exhibited here? The bride may be a kind of a mystical or spiritual calling. But I want you to know the true bride of Christ are the best workers in your church. Come on. The true bride of the Lord are the best workers in your church. Now, I'm not saying all the hard workers in the church are always spiritual people, are always the bride. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God's people that have the stuff are good workers. They're people of character. They're people of integrity. Because you remember, speaking of the parable of the sower, it says it fell into an honest and good heart. Praise the Lord. It isn't just all religious mysticism, but it's people who have an honest and good heart. People who do well no matter what spot you put them in. These are the people that make it through. I says amen. Been watching this thing for a number of years. And I'm telling you, it takes character. It takes people who, once they get hold of a thing, stay true with it and stay to God. There's others who come in when God is moving, and they fly around as long as things seem to be happening that are novel or interesting. But as soon as you get down to the long, drawn-out haul, which Christian discipleship is, they're gone to greener pastures. And so, this girl was a girl who had a good upbringing. She was a worker. She was a person of character. Imagine what it took to give this man to drink. And then to water 10 camels. You can put yourself and picture that scene. What an industrious young lady this was we're dealing with here. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And how true it is, the Lord comes to a church and he lays his hand on some, and then the question arises, are they going to accept us around here? And she said unto him, and notice the quality of this answer. You know, people talk about evolution, and they say that our culture and we're getting more intelligent and more educated, and everything is better and better, but look at the quality of this answer and see if a young person of today would give an answer of equal value. The stranger said to her, and I don't advocate talking to strangers, but I guess in this village it was all right. And she said unto him, look at this, because she was closer to Adam than we are. She was closer to the hand of God. We have devolved. Our language has become bright and full of quips and weak. Listen to this. She was closer to Adam, closer to the grand thing that God created from the clay of the ground. I'm always impressed with the answer of this young lady. She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which ye bare unto Nahor. Isn't that marvelous? You imagine a teenage girl today coming out with anything like that? And we talk about evolution. Our culture is getting weak. Couldn't expect a child, some gum-chewing youngster, to come up to you and make some flip remark if she said anything at all. I am the daughter of Bethuel. And so I believe today that in this church, that God is bringing us back to becoming a family. And I'm as independent as anybody in the room, more so than most. You know, many are cold, but few are frozen. Back where I come from, they're frozen. And independent people. But you know, God joins people of the earth in families. And I believe that the church is moving in this way where we'll not be something that meets on Sunday morning, comes from our islands, gathers together, and goes back to a silly business. But we will be people who join together that when a youngster is raised in this church, and in this family, they say, who are you, young lady? She knows who she is. Or the boy knows who he is. I'll tell you who I am. This is who I am. And these are who my parents are. And this is who my church, this is what my church is. And this is what my Savior is. Every child is somebody or something. Hallelujah. To be proud of. She was proud of her heritage. We want our young people to be proud of their church and proud of their school. And I'm proud of the church and proud of the school. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see things happening in this church that I didn't see happen in the public school with all of the wealth and the millions of dollars, millions upon millions, and we have a first grade child get up and read like a third or fourth grader off a pencil, told us the whole story of somebody in the Bible. Maybe you weren't here that Sunday morning to hear that. I've been in public school. They don't expect you to read like that in the first grade. You have to have large print to begin with, and you say, see, Mac, run. See, Moth, run. That's in the second half of the first grade. Here we have a child just beginning, gets up, gets a pencil, and things are small, you can hardly see the letter, and he begins to read us the story of Gideon or something. I forget what the story was. I was so flabbergasted, I couldn't believe my ears. But we have nothing to be ashamed of. We may be small in number, but we've got to watch out for small things. Yeah, so it says in Zechariah 4, don't despise the day of small beginnings. We have to get our foundation, our anchor, our roots, and get it out of the things that are trite and flippant in our culture, and get ourselves and our kids back to reality. Praise the Lord. Then when you ask them who they are, they'll say, I don't know, I'm having an identity crisis. They'll say, I am Rebecca. These are my parents. This is my church. This is my Savior. Praise the Lord. That's what God wants to give us for our young people. Get back to the original situation. She said, moreover, unto him we have both strong provender and up and room to lodge in. In other words, the hospitality. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebecca had a brother. Rebecca always has a brother, I'll tell you that. And his name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring, and braced upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camel, and he gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And now here we are at the great division. The man saw the earring. And people today are seeing the things of the Lord. And what's in it? you know, what they're going to get. This immaturity that the Lord was talking about in prophecy this morning. You know me as a baby. You know me in this immature state. You know what I have come to give you. He saw the earring. He saw what was in it for Laban. He had no consciousness of Abraham or what this was going to mean to Isaac or anything of the kind. He saw in it at hand something that was very desirable to him. And so today, as the Lord is dealing in the churches, this is what we have, these two situations. We have Rebekah and we have Laban. And then Eliezer goes on here with the story and told about how he was sent, the reason for his business. Go on, I'll read the whole thing. And then verse 45, before I had done speaking mine heart, Eliezer is reciting the story now to Laban. Behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste. He goes on with the story. And then in verse 49, and now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me. Always the free choice, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son wife, as the Lord has spoken. And verse 52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, you know, this is a very singular thing. She had never seen Isaac. She had just been raised in this little village. All she knew was that somewhere there was a man called Isaac and his father, Abraham, and that his mother, Sarah, had died. Never been there, never been on the journey. And yet she was so quick and she was so willing to say, I will go. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah, out into she knew not where. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, when we accept the Lord, this is the way it is. We leave that which is familiar. We're going to that which we do not understand. We leave the church with gifts. The church has been gifted and blessed because the Holy Spirit has passed by. And out of the midst of the Christian church, and this is going on today, see the grass marveling this morning. I like cultural things. I like to observe the Christmas. I know some among us, and I appreciate it. This church has a number of people. Remind me of some of the people in the Old Testament. I remind myself of some of the old people in the Old Testament. They're strong families. And they have their own ways. Oh, that's good. Praise the Lord. We're on the right track. And I know we've got some among us who don't appreciate. And I don't criticize this at all. I'm an observer of the passing scene. They don't appreciate the things that are cultural. And the reason is because, and I can share on this from the bottom of my heart, they have fought so hard to come out from that which is traditional. Sometimes they've been hurt. And that's what just tradition. That's why in this church we sing not only the new choruses, but we sing the old. You ever notice that? We sing the old hymns. We sing the new choruses. And that's by design. And I know some grow very impatient with us. I say, Psalmist said, should we have music in the church? Should we have these things? And my way is yes. Yes, because I've gotten past the point. 20 years ago, I would have said no. 20 years ago, I was worse than I am now. I was gross impatient with anybody that wasn't talking in tongues or prophesying or fixing to do that or just got finished. And if anybody wanted to sing Christmas carol, I said, no. Don't bother me with that stuff. It's all carnal. But I've come to peace with myself about many things. I understand a little bit better than I used to what's going on. And I don't know about you, but I can rejoice in a Christmas program. I can rejoice. I know it's hard on some. We sing Christmas carols. We sing Christmas carols in Latin. That's worse. Yeah. I'm sure some are going to start getting spiritual around here. Well, when Bob was leading us in that, it all came to my mind that many hundreds of years in Europe, and that's all they knew. Millions upon millions of people waited for Christmas time. While it was mixed with a lot of Yule logs and St. Nicholas's and other things that were very, very dear and precious because those people worked from dark to dark in the fields. And this was the time they came and burned the Yule log. And they would go into their Catholic churches at Matins or at Vespers. That's all they had. And then the choir singing Wainite, Wainite and Te Adoramus. And as we were singing that this morning, I was picturing the Lord looking down upon His gift. He asked of me, and I will give thee the nations. And here are these millions of peasants who were born and lived and died, and all they knew was the Mass, but many of them had good hearts, and they loved God. And within that which they have been told, they worship God. And as Christ looks down, He looks down timelessly, and He stretches out His nail-pierced hands. He accepts that. He accepts that adoration of these people. See? Because that's His gift. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nation for thy inheritance. All these European people that have worshipped Christ through the centuries. No, they never spoke in tongues. No, if they were in here, they'd be so carnal that we couldn't stand them. But you see, they're Christ's Christmas present. Why is it that some of us are so edgy? Why is it that we are not to the place? The reason is because the hand of God is on us. And God is drawing us out, just like Rebecca was drawn out. And we're saying, I will go. And the rest of the church doesn't understand that. They see the gifts, they see the good thing, they say, this is wonderful, Jesus has come. What did He say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear all this stuff that people get up and prophesy this morning. And I'm sure some of our visitors must think, boy, that sure is an intense group. They can't even have a thing on Christmas but what they've got to get up and carry on. See, but there's two things going on. There's two things going on here. We have the culture. We recognize that we're part of the world. This is what we've come out of. We didn't drop down from heaven. We come out of many, many hundreds of years of tradition in the carols. Some of those sang this morning were written by Charles Wesley or Martin Luther, who in their own day were the latter rain fanatics. See? See? And so, peace. We need to get to the place, and the bride will, that where we're far enough out and realize that we're not going to be jeopardized. We can turn around, because after all, that motley crew is our inheritance. Come on now. And you know how children are in a family. I'll tell you how they are in school. You think that you can get the fourth graders to play with the first graders? Those fourth grade, 9-year-old children, they're not going to play with those little kids. You got to be 25 before you have enough class and self-assurance if you can play with the babies. because you won't find anybody 13, 14 out in the schoolyard playing with those babies. They're with their, quote, peer group, end quote. They want you to know that they're no longer those little kids. But when you get older and you're no longer threatened by the situation, then you can play with the babies without feeling that somebody's going to think you're a baby. And the older you get, the younger it gets. The more you can afford. Because you know who you are, and you know where you're going. But when you first come out, when that Rebecca call comes, you're so busy trying to convince yourself and fighting off everybody in the, that's trying to hold you back, you're saying, I will go, I will go. You're not realizing that even the people who do not have the spiritual thrust that you have, if you give them a chance, they'll recognize that God is moving. Don't sell them short. And they'll do like Rebecca's family. And they'll bless you if you don't get too excited and start hitting people. Let me out of here. I'm not going to play with these little kids. So, we're not with Isaac yet. And we're not back up home where we were raised and where we were taught character and how to water camels when people asked you and how to show hospitality. But we're in this crazy middle ground where Eliezer's been. We haven't been. I've never ridden a camel. They say they go as far up and down and sideways as they do forward. It's evidently not like riding in a Rolls Royce, but it's kind of up around like this. And after a couple of days of seasickness, I guess you level out. And you know, you can do kind of some thinking. Just in the, for a couple of closing minutes, I'd like you to think, you guys, or bless your hearts who are all there on this camel and wondering why you ever left and where you're going. And some of you fending off the last trapping so nobody will think you're still a little kid. The question that we need to ask ourselves, since we're this special gift out of the gift, we're the bride out of the nations of the world, what kind of gift am I, Jesus? What's he getting? Andy, what's he getting? Well, the Pharisees were from the people of God, weren't they? But they were religiously ambitious. And so when the Lord got them for the bride, he was getting someone that would murder him. He came to his own. They didn't prove to be much of a gift to him. I wonder if Rebecca, I wonder if he pictured Isaac and thought, well, what kind of a person is he? What color is his hair? What color are his eyes? What type of person is he? Is he strong and dominant? Is he a weak type of person? Will he care for me? What's he like? But I like this other thought just this morning, since Jesus is the birthday boy, and I hope that doesn't sound irreverent. We do a lot of thinking about what he's like. Let's think about, what are we? What kind of a gift are we? Are we a lazy bride? Bible talks quite a lot about industry and the talents. Are we, when the Lord gets us, what does he get? What is he going to get when he gets you? Is he going to get a spiritually lazy person? Is he going to get someone that just doesn't have any get up and go? He was upset with the parable of the talents, so evidently that type of bride wasn't all that pleasing to the Lord. How about a faithful bride? When the Lord gets you for his Christmas present, is he getting someone that's faithful? If you're his present, is he getting someone faithful? Put yourself in Isaac's place. What was going through his mind? Think he was impatient? I wish Eliezer would get back. You think you go out every day and maybe scan the horizons and talk to the shepherds and say, did you see El coming? Huh? Did you see him coming? Anybody see any camels around here?
guy could get impatient, couldn't he? For he was sight unseen. Now, he didn't know whether anything was going to come back. But some camel and his faithful servant. Put yourself in his place. Think Jesus is getting impatient today? And you're coming and swaying from side to side and wondering, what is he getting? Have we got to the place where we're concerned about what the Lord is getting? What is he getting in you? Someone that no matter what he assigned you to do, you are faithful. You cannot be like Israel. You cannot be tempted off with other gods or other things. But your mind, you're going, I'm going to please that Isaac. I've never seen him. They tell me about him. They tell me he's really wonderful, but I've never seen him. I've never heard his voice as a person. I've never seen his face. Never seen his stature or the color of his eyes or the color of his hair. I've said I will go. But I wonder what he's like. And what kind of a gift am I really bringing to him? A faithful heart? Or am I just hoping to get there in the hopes that I can show him off to my friends? Are we a self-centered bride? Are we bringing to Christ a bride that is so occupied with herself that the first thing that she sees him, she's trying to figure, oh boy, now let me see, how's this going to affect me? Here I am up on this camel. How do I look? How do I feel? What is he doing for me? How come he didn't come himself, etc. and so on. I don't think he's doing right by me. Are we a self-centered bride? How are you going to feel when you see Jesus? What attitude? What kind of a gift are you to Jesus? Is your mind on yourself, what Jesus can give me? The Lord will answer this prayer. Me, mommy. Me, me, me. Or are you thinking, when I see him, what will make him happy? What does he want in a bride? He's never seen me. And I wonder if he's going to be pleased with me. What would make him happy? What kind of gift to Christ am I? Well, one more thing. Are we too busy for Christ? When we get there and meet him and get off the camel, the first thing we'll say to him is, I don't have time to talk to you now. Where's the house? I've got to go get it ready for the wedding. God has all kinds of people, doesn't he? And some are busy. Well, you and I are God's gift to his son. God is giving something to his son. This is Jesus' birthday. What? You know, God will give Jesus anything that he wants to. He could give him another whole heaven, another whole earth, or 10 heavens, or 10 earths. But God, to make his son happy, has given you, out of all the people in the world, just think of them, Larry. Millions of them. Billions of them. And God said, I'm going to make Jesus happy. I'm going to give him Larry and Susie. I'm going to give him Bob and Martin. I'm going to give him Doug and DeWitt. I'm going to give him John and Bonnie. I'm going to give him Neil and Diana to make him happy. What are you? What kind of a present are you for Jesus today? Praise the Lord. Lord God in heaven, Lord, as we realize that all things belong to Jesus, and he can have them and he can create them at will, but the one thing that he cannot create at will, nor have when he asks for it, is the human heart. And yet that's what Jesus wants more than anything else, is his bride who comes to him not in self-centeredness, not seeking to have him go her way, not expecting to be waited upon, to be ministered to, but to minister, not becoming angry with Jesus because she suffers pain or is inconvenienced or her desires are deferred, but whose whole heart is bent on ascertaining his desire and doing it in a cheerful, loving way. The gift of a bride who is faithful beyond question, who is diligent when diligence is in order, who is attentive when attention is in order, who does not expect to be ministered unto, but to minister, whose happiness is to find the pleasure of Jesus, so that his heart does safely trust in her, and upon meeting her, he is glad because she gives herself. She has left her home. She has left her comforts. She has cast herself into a strange land, into a strange place, to be betrothed to him whom she has never seen. Lord, we know that you are at the right hand of God, that your heart yearns for us more than Isaac for Rebekah, more than we can ever, ever conceive. Your love awaits our decision. Grant that this day, when we're remembering, Lord, your birthday, that we will bring to you a willing heart, a faithful heart, a diligent heart, and a heart that is Christ-centered and not self-centered. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Why, we're in prayer this morning. If you would just like to, I have my eyes closed and everyone else, you'd like to just stretch your hand up toward the Lord and say, Jesus, I would like to be your gift. I would like to be gift unto you. Take my life, my heart, my time, my love. I am yours, Lord. I am yours. Lift from me all that is self-centered, all that is grasping, all that is ambitious, all that is lazy, all that is not pleasing to you, and cause me to be a gift that will rejoice your heart. For certainly the greatest gift that God can give to you is the loving heart of a human being, for it certainly is worth more than the material wealth of the universe. And so we give ourselves to you, Jesus, and we say, happy birthday. Praise God. Oh,